This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wee.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld.
And it's a beautiful, sunshiny Monday. I know we both watched the Meghan Markle interview last night, which was a whole thing, and various Bravo celebrities were sounding off, particularly Bethany, which
particularly
I don't even
want. One.
Particularly one. I can't even get into Bethany's whole deal right now.
Yeah, like she definitely just tweeted too soon. I mean, she shouldn't have tweeted that at all, well, but it was one of those where she thought what would have happened would have defended her tweet, and it didn't. It went the
we've
opposite.
We've seen Bethany kind of step in it like this before, most notably when WAP came out last year, and she kind of chimed in with a hot take that was both a bad take, but also just like completely unnecessary for her to give her opinion on.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, Bethany loves to stir it up for better or for worse. And this one might have been for worse, but
here's the thing though about Bethany, what you're doing for like natural disaster relief and all of that is great. So just keep doing, like, I can't stand when people are so successful and doing well and then just like chime in somewhere. And it's like, just keep doing what you're doing. It's fine.
Right. It's like, of course you're allowed to, you know, have opinions and talk about other things, but it's like, nobody needs your take on this.
specific.
Okay. Today we are talking about Real Housewives of Atlanta and the Married to Medicine season premiere. Before that, I feel like we need to talk about this Jen Shah controversy that's happening. It was kind of brewing last week. I know there was audio that came out and then the accompanying video of Jen basically verbally assaulting people in her home. I think she threw a phone at one point. It was kind of traumatizing to watch because it's in her kitchen. She's like very angry. She's telling people, you know, like not to look at her, like not to talk to her. Just completely toxic, abusive boss behavior. And I will say, like, when I first kind of heard about this, I was a little bit like, okay, like stuff like this kind of like we hear about random like things and housewives being problematic and stuff all the time, like it's hard to know kind of where to like dedicate your energy. But when the video came out, I was like, oh shit, this is bad.
Yeah, I just laughed because I can't imagine if someone ever spoke to me the way I've said this from the episodes on TV, if someone ever spoke to me the way Jen Shah speaks to any human being, it wouldn't be good. But the thing is, you're making people more uncomfortable because they're in your home. So like they already feel and you're paying them. But when I watched that video last week, my friend actually sent it to me because I hadn't seen it yet. And then I sent it to our little Bravo chat and we like went off, but I was like, if we see her with cameras on, that's not fake. So imagine how she speaks to people. Like,
yeah,
and it's true. Someone clearly was privately like videoing. It was meant to not be seen, you can tell. But like, that is not it's not normal behavior. We've said it during the season. Like, there something needs to be done. Like, it's you feel bad because like a person doesn't typically act like that. So there's something deeper there, but you feel bad for the people she's talking to.
Right. And it's I feel like there's kind of a little bit of a gray area when you're watching these shows. I don't assume that everybody on Bravo is a good person, a great, perfect, you know, loving, kind person all the time. And honestly, I don't expect that. Like, I don't necessarily right. want that. But there are lines that are kind of not okay to cross. Like, okay, maybe does somebody handle conflict poorly? Are they, you know, kind of a shitty friend? That great. That's probably going to be good on TV. But if you are being abusive toward your employees that are working in your own home, like that's something where there's no excuse for that. And it's not one of those things that's kind of like, eh, yeah, she sucks. Like,
and Coach Shaw coming in being so mellow as he's in the video too. And he's almost like we've seen in scenes. I know I keep going back and to the show, but like he almost like doesn't know what to do. He knows how to handle her, I feel, and I don't know if that's the right words, like how to handle her, but like how to deal with her outbursts.
I feel like their relationship is like in the Hurt Locker. He's Jeremy Renner and Jen Shah is the bomb.
I would love to be Jeremy Renner any day.
He's the one, he knows how to diffuse her.
Yeah.
And clearly that's a role that he's used to playing. We saw it at the reunion, we've seen it on the show. But so interesting, so one of the people that was kind of around in this video was this designer, Koa, who was working with her. This was pre-reunion when the video happened, I think. And he put out a statement on his Instagram, basically trying to state some facts about mm-hmm. his time working for Jen. And he said, in the 10 months I spent working, I've been verbally assaulted, had to work all hours through the night, mostly unpaid, had to tiptoe around a hostile work environment in an attempt to preserve my mental health and well-being. And then that's all bad. But I think the number one worst thing, he says, the last payment I received from my previous employer was in September, even though I continued working through January. It's like yelling at people is bad enough, but if you're not even going to pay them, like, get the fuck out. Come on.
I know, like, he's clearly between a rock and a hard place, but if I'm not getting paid, I'm not doing the work. So good for him to continue going, but right, no.
I think they are finished now, I would say.
Yeah.
Suspect for this post. I'm curious though, it's interesting, Jen nor anyone around her they've not said anything publicly. I don't know what degree, if any, production is telling her not to talk about it because they're currently filming. I don't know how that works, but it feels like a big enough deal that you can't just completely ignore it forever.
You know what? What if this gets like so bad? Because here's the thing. It'd be one thing if someone made a statement like the whole world has been doing recently about everything and there was no video, but there's a video. So now there, I feel like everyone's like, oh shit. Like we're seeing what happened. I'm wondering if Jen gets the boot early for next season. And it's only in a few episodes.
They're only a few, like less than a month into filming. So if they wanted to, they could significantly reduce her role and right. perhaps almost cut her out completely. I mean, we see them work wonders with editing sometimes yeah. when they decide somebody's not going to be in the cast.
I feel like they're so good. They could edit us into the episodes.
Oh, okay, you and I can tag team and yeah. take Jen's snowflake. We'll be the aww, joint sixth housewife of Salt Lake City.
So cute. Honestly, we have come up with so many good ideas. That's going on the list as well.
Honestly,
but
like I feel like I could just I could like work that into my job description and not have to take any time off.
Dylan, I can picture you and I showing up like in the movie Dumb and Dumber, like in our massive like snow gear with the boots and the whole looks like coming up to like just the slopes and be like, okay, we're ready. And they're going to be like, we're just having lunch. Like it's not, you're not
sure. I'm sure Betches is going to be thrilled when I say that I need to expense like a Chanel ski suit. Like, no, it's actually a work expense. I had to.
Yeah. We got to talk okay. about Atlanta.
Let's talk about Atlanta. This is a Kenya heavy episode as last week was. We get a lot of different scenarios that Kenya's in. First of all, she's talking to her dad mm-hmm. And specifically kind of updating her dad on the situation with Mark, which has deteriorated. As we've seen, he filed for divorce. He wants alimony. And I maybe we knew this already, but it felt like worth updating. So Kenya didn't invite her dad to her wedding because mm-hmm. she thought he wouldn't get along with Mark, which is like the world's biggest red flag to me. It's like, okay, so like you sit at the wedding and that's still a thing. Like,
Also, you're okay going through your wedding knowing that's the reason your dad's not there, because you know that they're both going to be in your lives after this party. So that it, there is no bigger red flag than that. You're right. Like, that's just like weird. And look what happened.
And especially, well, I mean, we'll get to later. Kenya has had so much trauma from her issues with her mom.
Right.
That it's like, for her one parent that she does have a relationship with, for her to make that call that he's not going to be at her wedding, it's like, you would think that she would take extra care to sort of guard the relationship with her dad.
To be honest, though, it was a really nice conversation that they had. I thought it was, yeah. It was, I kind of really enjoyed that scene. It was through FaceTime, obviously, but he seems like a very honest and blunt person. So I think that their relationship is going at a nice pace, if that's what it takes.
I agree. He seems, I feel like we talk about this kind of regularly with the relationships on this show. He seems supportive, but not in an enabling, like, yes man kind of way. Like, mm-hmm. he actually is kind of telling her what she needs to hear. I'm interested to see more of that. I like Kenya having a relationship with her dad. That's nice to see.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
More Kenya. So now we're going another route. And she goes to dinner with Drew, which I like Drew's approach to this, because Drew even said on their trip to South Carolina that she doesn't understand why all the ladies are fighting one minute and then, like, the next morning mm-hmm. pretending everything, nothing happened. So she kind of wanted to meet with Kenya to, like, set everything clear for them. But they are just on two very different pages. And I think that's not the approach to go with Kenya, because as we saw, there is a time clock on the bottom. It went minutes and minutes and minutes of them just talking on top of each other. And there was zero conversation. I wanted to jump in and been like, you go first. You go second. Like, it was bad. Yes. Nothing was accomplished.
It was one of those conversations where sometimes two people just aren't meant to sit down and work through something yet. And we see that at reunions sometimes when people are just not interested in sort of, you know, actually coming to an understanding. And it's like, they just, you know, because I think Drew has a pretty simple sort of question or issue with Kenya at the end of the day, but Kenya's not going to give her sort of the answer that she wants. She's not just going to be like, oh yeah, see, this is what it was. She's going to be like, well, you know, Drew, like, this is what I don't know. Like, I said this and then you had this reaction. They're just not. And then when Drew goes, what you're talking about? And now they're singing. Ah, like, it was crazy.
They were singing back to each other, and I was like, you guys can't even talk to each other, let alone now get through this, like, bridge of a song. But it was every time, this is so typical, not just Kenya, but anytime you have a conversation with someone you're not getting along with, like, if Kenya wasn't getting the answer she wanted, all right, let's move past that. But, like, no, that's not how it works. You can't just, like, move past it, but then keep bringing it up. Like, you can move past it and never talk about it again. That's one thing. But Drew kept asking her, bringing up her child. Like, what if her child wasn't there? And that pissed Kenya off even more. And it was just like, I feel that these two just aren't going to be friends. I think we felt that from the beginning. I think even after Kenya abruptly left, even though, I'm sorry, they split the check. And Kenya's remark about broke bitches splitting checks, that was so uncalled for in this situation, because they weren't getting the check and doing math. They each ordered a meal. So they were both giving them their credit card and they were splitting it down the middle. She just tried to like one up Drew a little with that comment. And I did not like that.
Also, they put the numbers on the screen. I don't remember exactly, but this was like a $60 meal. Like,
no joke. And like, listen, I've been with people. What I'm on Kenya's side when I've been at dinners with large groups and everyone's like, what did you get? What did you get? What did you get? And that is, I don't deal with that.
There's a difference between getting out the calculator at a group dinner and saying like, oh, here's two cards, just split it.
Oof. Yeah. But then she left and like, it was awkward because like, you could tell Drew just like waited for her to go before she got up and like went to her car. And
I know I like their dynamic, though. I'm curious to see kind of like how that continues over the season. And obviously we see that Drew and LaToya are having major issues coming up. So I'm curious kind of where Kenya falls in that, because Kenya and LaToya had their own little issue.
Is it just me, though, or is Drew seems just like really nice and like always goes in with an open mind and is like positive? Am I wrong about that?
I don't think you're wrong. I think one aspect, though, I think Drew is really good at kind of appearing clueless, not in like a ditzy way, but in like a, no, like, just tell me, like, I want to understand. Like, she's like, you know, like, I just like, I don't get why the group was like this. So like, can you tell me why the group was like this?
Right.
And I don't think that's like fake, but I think it's deliberate that she kind of is like, oh, like, I'm new here. Like, this is crazy. Like, tell me what, like, how it works. And I think she knows that she can use that. And I think it's worked well with like Portia, where she and Portia have quickly kind of become friends.
Yep.
And they barely knew each other before the trip to South Carolina. But obviously Kenya, I think, is a very different personality, where she's kind of like, fuck Drew, I'm not telling her how this group works. Like,
absolutely.
I'm not going to like meet her where she is.
I feel like Kenya got two new people and LaToya was easy for her to bring under her wing and Drew wasn't. So now she's feuding with Drew.
LaToya sucked up to her and Drew was like calling her fake. And she was like, I'm going to choose LaToya.
Yes.
Okay. We have to talk about one of my favorite events that we've had just because of the name. We're at the pumpkin patch for Marlo's Harvest, which is just... I'm going to have, when the pandemic is finally over this fall, I'm going to have a Marlo's Harvest themed dinner party, and everybody's going to have to wear their flyest pumpkin patch clothes, which for Marlo is an oversized Palm Angels poncho with like a Chanel necklace and thigh high boots with no pants.
Right. I personally, although Portia missed the event and still showed up, I thought her outfit was fire. She looked so good.
Can we talk about Portia's attendance at this event?
Which was
so she drove an hour in the wrong direction.
I've done that before.
So she calls them. They call her while they're like about to start the hayride, which is like kind of the last part of the event.
Right.
And she's like, yeah, it says I'm an hour and 20 minutes away. So half of the women, it's Shamia Marlowe and... I don't know. Half the women are waiting for her in the parking lot as it gets dark after everyone else has left. It's like, what is happening?
I can't believe, I guess she ended up showing up because she had to pass it anyway, but I would have been so upset just driving that long. I mean, she wasn't that upset that she was fine, but when she did her little roadmap of where she passed, like Narnia and Oz, like she drove that far out of the way. But yeah, she showed up. They caught her up to speed a little bit. Like, I still feel like there's some lingering things. Marlo now feels weird being around her because she hasn't spoken to him. Portia was like, I haven't spoken to anybody. Like, don't feel bad that I haven't called you, like, specifically. We're still friends, but I'm taking a step back because you made up with Kenya.
It's interesting. So as they're on the way to the pumpkin patch, the news breaks about what went down with Bolo in South Carolina, and that allegedly two of the women in the cast had sex with the stripper. And so then this pumpkin patch event, Marlo's Harvest, was supposed to be this beautiful, tasteful event at the pumpkin patch. And all of a sudden we're trying to get to the bottom of the leak. And I feel like whether or not certain people are saying it, everyone thinks it's Kenya.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yes. And by the way, side note, we didn't see one pumpkin. But anyway, everyone thinks it's Kenya. They are they're even Kenya kind of said it was Kenya without saying it was Kenya. Well, in her confessional, when she goes, what I think happened is someone who was there told someone and that person leaked it. And she like gave like a smile. And I was like, it was you.
Not to mention, so they're saying the story was in Page Six, and Kenya's response when they ask if it was her is not like, oh, no, there's no way. She goes, oh, Page Six, that's not me. That's Marlo's friends. But if it was like B. Scott or, you know, the blah, 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 then it would have been me. And it's like, that's not great to admit either. Like, if it was a different tabloid, you were probably the source.
Right, because that's just that line was very bizarre because it's not, I feel like Page Six was just where it, like, I don't know, maybe that's just the one they saw first, but it could have very well have been another tabloid. Also going forward, now if one is from TMZ, like, you, it's going to be from you. Like, you should have just not said anything at all.
Right. Like, don't reveal which blogs and tabloids you have relationships with, because then at any point in the future, if there's a story on B. Scott, I'm going to be like, oh, Kenya's at it again.
Right. But I never. So then they also on Watch Weapons Live last night, Andy was like, why were you so adamant about like the women having fun with the stripper? And he was like, it was a bachelorette party. And she goes, we were at work. That was what she said. We were at work. I was like, Kenya, you know, this isn't a 9-to-5 job. This is a reality show with cameras.
I see both sides of it. I mean, I totally agree that they were on. I mean, it is a work trip. Like, that's the reason they're there. I understand that. I heard Kate Chastain talked about this in a Clubhouse room a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
How when people are kind of taking the idea of cameras going down very literally, and that, like, in her experience from being on a show for all these years, like, you always kind of are aware that, like, you could be on camera, there's cameras in the house, whatever, like, that it's not so literal that it's like, oh, they turned off the camera, I guess nothing is, everything's off limits from now on. But I do think it's a little bit like, you did all have this conversation and like agree that you were kind of like done filming.
Right.
So I see both sides, but I also think it's a little disingenuous of Kenya to be like, we were at work, tough luck.
Right. So we were at work, but you being on the floor with your legs open in that costume was okay for the camera. Like, it's the same thing. Like, was she having sex on the floor? No, but like, you were still being provocative. And so it's like, just, I don't know. It's always just like, if you were there, if you weren't there, and she wasn't involved. So she's like,
yeah, you know,
professional.
I hate to say it. I mean, I don't hate to say it. I feel I need like a little bit of a breather from Kenya. Not like totally, but this episode, it started with this phone call with her dad and it ended with her in therapy.
Yeah.
Last week's episode ended with her at the divorce attorney. And I feel like they're hitting the Kenya storyline a little too hard now. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's because maybe like they don't want to show more of the wedding, or the Candy maybe doesn't have a lot going on. Like, maybe they just kind of need some filler, but it's like, okay, like, I don't need to hear Kenya talk about Mark again.
Wait, also though, then we have two new housewives, like, film more of them. I would love to like get to know these women more, but also that Cynthia's wedding, and she goes, let the countdown begin. I was like, Cynthia, we've been counting down for like the last,
like, girl, it's been 12 episodes. I'm tired.
Like, we've already seen it hasn't happened yet, but she's going on and on. She seems pretty calm about all the stuff that's going wrong. So, which happens to everybody, but we will see, because it is approaching. It's in, what was it last night? It's in a week. It's in 10 days, technically.
I don't know. The wedding, but the wedding was in the preview for next week's episode. So,
woo-hoo.
Yeah, we're finally getting there. Okay,
sorry, one more thing. When Cynthia is on the phone with Drew, and she goes, "Do you like Angel by Monica?" And she was like, Mike, do you like Angel by Monica? And he goes, yeah, when she sings it. And I was like,
oh my God, shady. I was like, she's on speaker. Hi.
We obviously know that she ends up not, in our interview with Drew, she told us she ended up not singing because she was her voice was hurting probably from the dinner she had with Kenya.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Okay, so now let's talk about Married to Medicine.
Okay, it was a season 8 premiere.
Okay, so our Married to Medicine kind of like experience is interesting because I spent over chunks of time in the last several months, I binged Married to Medicine and I literally caught up yesterday, like hours before the premiere. I know you haven't seen
every- And I started, but I didn't finish. Yes. So I've seen them before, but I obviously was excited to watch last night.
So we'll keep you posted throughout the season. I don't know if we're going to do like full recaps every week, but the premiere was super fun. I had a good time. I liked that they right off the bat have a very unique perspective on Bravo when it comes to the pandemic. And they were showing that. But Dr. Damon's COVID testing thing is great. I loved seeing that.
Totally. But I also liked how they also started off with Black Lives Matter and the protests because of the way that these shows are filmed and when they air. This happened so long ago, but I like how it's airing now because it's continuing the conversation. So it's totally. It's not like those shows happened already. Okay, we talked about it. Like now it's still happening. It happened where they live as well. And so they're showing us their perspective and as much as COVID, because they like to say physicians, which we can make that into a drinking game. We've said before.
MDs and MRSMDs.
And I like dentists.
I really thought this was an interesting episode because, like you were saying, we've seen the Black Lives Matter subject broached on a bunch of different Bravo shows at this point. But this one, maybe more than any other show, really has kind of relevant storylines. And we saw in this episode Simone talking to her son about he's getting ready to go to college in a small town in Tennessee, and that, you know, they're from Atlanta, which, I mean, they say in the episode is the Black Mecca. And, you know, he's going to this place where racism is like a real thing that you have to deal with every day. And I thought it was really great to see that conversation. And he seemed so kind of aware of what he was facing. And I thought Simone seemed really supportive. And, you know, to see that conversation beyond just like yeah, we marched for Black Lives Matter. It's like, it's really cool to see them kind of working it in, because, you know, and even Toya says that she's had that conversation with her sons about how, you know, they could be in danger and, you know, they face different things than other people. And it's nice to see them kind of.
Because she asked him, like, have you thought about what you would do if someone says something to you? And he said, yeah, I'm going to educate them. And I was like, that's so like what's happening these days is that the kid, he's 18, but like that the kids are the ones educating people. It's really what the world has been coming to.
So we see this episode, Toya is very content in her new home that we saw last season. I love seeing her on the golf cart, just like zooming around the neighborhood. It's interesting. So the new cast member is Anila, and she is, I guess, building a house in Simone's neighborhood, or not Simone, Toya's neighborhood, but it's not done yet. We don't like really meet Anila this week. We just kind of like get a glimpse of her at the party, but I'm excited to kind of get to know her a little more.
Yeah. And also the fact that Dr. Jackie's house is now one of like the nicest houses we've seen on these shows. She did a full renovation. Her kitchen is literally to die for. But it makes me really sad, to be honest, that her and Simone like aren't in a good place, because of all the episodes that I did see, like I like their friendship.
Okay. And so they... just like a little up to speed, because I'm sure not everyone listening is fully up to speed either. So Simone and Jackie were like always close. And then just last season, they started having a couple issues. And at the reunion, they were like not in a great place. And they kind of made up, but then they say that the pandemic kind of got in the way. It's weird that they just have this like awkwardness between them. It's not even like they're fighting. It's not even like they hate each other. It's just like they don't even know how to be around each other. Well, and it's so strange for people who have been close for that long to just like not even be able to have a normal small talk conversation. Like,
yes, but it seems like that is it. They're the type of friendship where they legitimately phased out, and now it's like it's like they can ease back in and just be like cordial, but it is sad where it's like you don't even know why you're fighting. So like, why are you fighting? But now there's no foundation, so there's nothing else to do. But it's like tough to see them like at a party and like not even acknowledge each other, and then like the talk that they were having was about like a negative COVID test. Like, it was awkward. I felt very weird.
Also, it's weird to see an episode of this show with no Quad or Mariah. I know Quad is going to be Quad's going to be a friend of the season, so she will be around. She's in the season trailer quite a bit, so it's not like she's gone. But it's just, I feel like Quad in my head like is like kind of what this show is. So it's strange to just, like, not
the show. I know. I was just saying. But was it Dr. Heavenly had a party for her husband's birthday? And because she was
it's daddy's birthday.
Yeah, I'm having a party. And they all came, and they're like, they had a table like set up with their mask or a face shield. There were signs everywhere, and all of the food was wrapped individually, including the crab legs. I was like, this was done right.
Watching Toya wasted on tequila trying to like suck the crab meat out of the shell was one of the funniest things, because she is just like, I mean, she's like not really into the COVID restrictions that Heavenly is trying to enforce, and also is just like too drunk to really function.
They did a meter like of how many. She had like 7 drinks, and I was like, oh God.
She loves her Patron. She always has, always will.
But it was almost like this conversation escalated at the end of the party because she was drinking. Like, I'd feel like if she didn't have that many, it wouldn't have gotten to that point.
It's always tough. I feel like on these shows, like when somebody is just like getting themselves into trouble because they're drunk, it's like, just like, don't have this conversation tonight. Like, just wait, chill out. Like, everybody go home.
Heavenly saw that as a great opportunity.
Obviously.
Like, crossed her legs, eating her, like just sitting there. And she's like,
I'm excited for you to catch up more on Married to Medicine, because the way these like relationships change is just, it's a lot. But yeah. it was a fun season premiere. I'm excited to see where they're headed. We're going to see Giselle this season. That was in the trailer. So lots to come.
That's an interesting crossover. Yeah, last night was just stressful because it was this premiere, Atlanta, and the Meghan and Harry interview. And it was Sunday, so you already had like anxiety for work today. So it was like I watched Married to Medicine and Atlanta this morning at 6:30. This morning I woke up and watched.
That's so, dedication.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Well, on that note, we are going to say goodbye, but thank you so much for listening. Come back on Thursday for another episode. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches. Rate, review, subscribe to this podcast, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.